You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
We're constantly getting updates on what the polls reveal about which states are more likely to vote red or blue on election night. But how did the domestic polling results compare with opinions throughout the rest of the world? Carl Cannon, the Washington Bureau Chief of Reader's Digest, asked people in 17 different countries whom they would like to see in the White House on January 29, 2009, and the results were published in a special issue of Reader's Digest called How Does the World See Us? Carl Cannon joins us now with some of the answers. Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. Aren't opinions of America pretty low right now throughout the world?
Well, we didn't really find that. We've been told that during this long campaign, but we asked a question. We did this poll as a global poll, and all of our magazines are running. We have 50 around the world in 21 languages, and they're all running this on the cover. But we asked them, what do you think of the U.S. government? When you think of the U.S. government, do you consider yourself pro-American, neutral, or anti-American? And overwhelmingly, people said neutral. And only in half the countries was the anti-American more than the pro-American, usually by very narrow margins. And in some of the pro-American countries, like India or Poland, hugely pro-American. And that's the American government. So that makes me think that a little bit of this has been overblown, that people still look to America and still have pretty good feelings, that it's, you know, one unpopular administration, one unpopular war isn't enough to make people really dislike America.
You say that one of your objectives was to not merely determine who the rest of the world would like to see in the White House, but how aware they are of this election. Why did you think that was an important question to ask? I always assume that that the world always pays a lot of attention to American politics.
Well, yes, they do, and we wanted to confirm that, but we wanted to make sure that wasn't just, you know, our ethnocentrism or whatever it's called these days on college campuses. You know, of course, we think we're the center of the universe, but people do pay attention to American politics around the world. That showed up in every country that we polled. We polled 16 different countries, Leonard.
I once had a conversation with Louise Leakey from Kenya. She's the Leakey family, Louis Leakey, and then her father was Richard Leakey.
Yeah.
And she said that she felt that people around the world should be allowed to vote in the American election, no other election but the American election, because it's so important to the rest of the world. Did you get that sense from the people you spoke to?
Well, they don't expect to be able to vote here, but I can tell you this with great authority. If they could vote here, John McCain would have to, he could throw in the towel already. The numbers we got in our poll, and, you know, the BBC did some poll, Pew's done some polling on this. I think we did the most countries, but the numbers we got are numbers you don't get in polling in America in our two-party system. The Netherlands, 92% Barack Obama, 8% for McCain. Taiwan, 81% Barack Obama, 6% John McCain. Brazil, 78-11. Australia, which is in the coalition of the willing, to use the president's phrase, 76% of Australians would prefer Barack Obama. It's only 10% for John McCain. And we got this in every country and every continent.
So John McCain didn't score well in any country that you polled?
He didn't come close in any country we polled. The closest he came was probably India, where it was 61% for Obama, 26% for McCain. McCain also got 26% in Mexico and South Africa. And the low for Obama was 52% in Russia, but there McCain only got 17%.
So the rest just said they didn't care or weren't paying attention?
Or didn't express a preference.
Which countries turned out to pay the most attention to American politics?
That was Western Europe. That's where, you know, for obvious reasons, but that's where people really follow this intensely.
So the countries that paid the least attention, mostly in the third world?
It seems Russia, actually. You know, in Russia, we asked them, we also asked what, if you could move here, would you come to the United States if you could move here? And Russia and Poland, Eastern Europe, 16%, only 16%, which is interesting. You know, Australia was the next lowest with 19%, but I guess, you know, they like it down there. But people are rooted in their country. The high mark was India. 73% of people in India said they'd come here if they could, 65% in South Africa, and 55% in the Netherlands. So, you know, if the Dutch prefer Obama 92%, and more than half of them want to move here. So, again, McCain should hope they don't move until the election.
Well, many times when I've spoken to people in other countries, they've said to me, we don't confuse America and the American people with the American government of any given moment. And to some degree, that's what your pulse learned as well.
It really confirms that. That was, and in some ways, the most surprising thing about it. Remember that question we asked them, you know, when you think about the American government, how do you feel about this country? And, you know, that takes out the Statue of Liberty, and it takes out, you know, all of the Peace Corps and all of the atmospherics and the movies. It just the government, and even there, the United States held its own. So, yes, I think your impression is right, and that's what we found.
Is this the first election for which a major American publication has polled other countries?
They've done it sporadically before, but I don't think anyone's ever done it as much as this. We did like 16 countries plus the United States, and there were 1,000 people polled in every country. So in the we got the margin of error down around 3%, and it was pretty ambitious. The money people didn't tell me how much it cost, which, you know, we do have a little bit of church and state at Reader's Digest, but it was pretty expensive. But it seems to me well worth the money. We found out all of these. The other thing, we found out about issues. We found what people in the world care about. And it's not always the same priorities as our own.
So it wasn't the war on Iraq that dominated people's concerns outside of this country?
In the United States, the top three issues were terrorism, the war in Iraq, and the global economy. In the rest of the world, the two issues that kept coming up the most in most countries were global poverty and the environment.
Well, Americans are concerned about the environment, but it didn't make the top three, you're saying. And poverty is something, even though we have a fair amount of poverty in this country, it has not come up at all during this campaign, as far as I can remember. I didn't hear the word once in any of the debates.
Well, you know, I think it must have come up, but it's not been front and center. That's true. But the phrase we used, we asked eight issues: terrorism, war in Iraq, global economy, global poverty, environment, human rights, international trade, nuclear proliferation. In one way, though, global poverty, you know, we're more like, in this way, like people in Asia. We're more like the Pacific Rim. I'm a Californian, so, you know, we're oriented that way. I think the perception here is that the long-term answer to global poverty a big part of it has to be a thriving global economy. And in that way, Americans have attitudes that are more like Asians, more like India and Indonesia and Taiwan than like Europe in that way.
Would you say that there were differences over what issues were the most important between people in the industrialized countries as opposed to the non-industrialized countries?
Well, I it's a little more, yes, that's partly true, but take France. You know, 42% global poverty, as much as the next largest, which was the environment. Those two issues, you know, 2/3 of the people picked those two. And that was true in Spain, and the Netherlands also picked the environment, but second to them was terrorism. The Dutch have had that. So people, they combined their status in the world economically with also what's been going on politically in their own country. In Russia, terrorism was the number one issue, and they were the only country that ranked it higher than we did.
Were these polls totally free? There are some countries in this list that have repressive regimes, don't they?
We have this firm, Synovate, and they went around. They've done international polling before, and we used a combination of internet polling and telephone polling and even door-to-door in South Africa, where you really had to do it that way. They're pretty convinced that the polling is accurate, and I think it is too. You know, the United States is a bit of a control experiment because we have so many polls here. But at the time we were doing the poll this summer, the race here between John McCain and Barack Obama was within the margin of error, and it is in our poll tool. It's about 3 points. Now those numbers have opened up in the last 2 weeks, but we think I looked at this polling, and I'm pretty confident it's good.
My guest is Carl Cannon, the Washington Bureau Chief of Reader's Digest. They've just published the results of a poll they conducted in countries around the world called How Does the World See Us? And the results, I guess, are not all that surprising, because even in the past we've heard that if people could vote in our elections, they would tend to vote for the Democratic candidate. John Kerry was favored overwhelmingly in the last in the last campaign. And to some degree, that was used against him in this country because people called him vaguely foreign. And they've done pretty much the same thing with Barack Obama during this campaign.
I do not. There's nothing in here that would hurt Barack Obama. And Obama's campaign has been very careful about this. They want people to know that Obama's popular around the world. And they want voters who are swing voters to think that if he's elected, he'll be able to work effectively with foreign leaders and maybe change the direction of policy. But they don't want to make a big deal of it. They don't want, you know, no American wants to sacrifice the franchise or say that anybody can vote. And some conservative or even centrist people would say, well, of course these people, like, you know, of course these people want, they want us out of Iraq, but they won't fight for themselves. You know, so Barack doesn't want to stir up a backlash, and he hasn't. The Obama campaign has played this very carefully. They want you to know the good news. They don't want, they don't want to dwell on it and make themselves a target. And I think they've handled that well.
I was surprised that President Bush didn't score better in India, considering the recent agreement over the nuclear treaty.
Well, you know, we weren't really pulling on Bush, and so we're extrapolating a little bit about to McCain from the horse race poll. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you, I think President Bush is relatively popular in India and in Africa too, relative to the to how Democrats do. But you know, the Republican Party is not set up to run overseas. In fairness to them, they don't argue about the Second Amendment or Roe v. Wade in these countries. You know, but the other thing about Obama, and this seems to be true in all of these, in everywhere, is that his life story and his skin color is an inspiring, it's an inspiring thing to people around the world. Clearly, and this came up. We did all these interviews, and our editors and these, we have these Reader's Digest editors in all these countries, and they did interviews, first of all, with local, you know, people who know about politics in those countries. We did man and women in the street interviews that are on our website, which is www.rd.com. And this just keeps coming up, is that Obama's an inspiring thing. If America can have an African-American president, that completes the promise of America to a lot of people around the world.
A listener wonders whether you polled Israel.
We did not.
And do you suspect that the poll might have turned out a little differently there?
You know, I hesitate to speculate. Since there's no country in which McCain defeated Obama, I'm hesitant to say that Israel would be different. Numbers might have been closer than some of these numbers, but we've gotten such a great response from this. Reader's Digest wants to do this global poll every year, and I'm sure that we are going to poll in Israel in the future.
It's one of the concerns of the Obama campaign is that there may be a downside to polling because potential voters may decide that their vote isn't necessary if they want Barack Obama because the polls have suggested that he has such a big lead.
Leonard, you know, liberals like to worry, and they wouldn't be good liberals if they didn't. And I don't want to make light of this, but in social science, the opposite's considered the real probability, which is if you know your person's going to lose, you won't vote. So these polls that show Barack Obama emerging, that I know of no pollster who thinks that will hurt him. It may hurt McCain more than it would hurt him.
There has been a lot of talk about the global economy in the past few weeks. These polls were conducted before then. Do you think that that would have affected the results of these polls?
Yes, I do. I'll be honest. You know, with our long lead times, we were a little worried about this. That's the one thing, the global economy, that you think would have changed is that it would have been higher in Western Europe, certainly. You know, in Britain, the global economy polled about, it was 25%, so it was high there. But Netherlands, it was third. I think it would not be third today. Wait a minute, I take that back. The global economy was 13% in Great Britain when we did this poll. Yes, it would be higher. You'd think it would be much higher. So that's the one issue I think would have changed.
One of the conclusions in the summary of your poll states, most agree that America is more ready to elect a black president than a woman president. Do you think that's a conclusion that's simply the result of what happened in the Democratic primaries, or does the world see sexism as a more pressing issue in America than racism?
Well, when we first designed this poll, we weren't sure where the Democrats were going to go, so we put that in there. I think it's the former. I think by the time we're doing this in June and July, I think people realized Obama had defeated Hillary in the Democratic primary if they were following it closely. But the the truth is, in overwhelmingly in every country, they thought we were ready for either a woman or for African-American. It was slightly higher for an African-American. But I actually do think that that reflects that Obama had already emerged as the likely nominee.
We're pretty much out of time, but I just wonder about why you think that respondents in South Africa were the only ones who thought John McCain would improve America's image more than Barack Obama, and why Indonesians were the only respondents who said that the election of either candidate would have a negative effect on their lives.
The South Africa thing almost seemed like an aberration, but there may be domestic considerations there. They had a president there who's just left office who made a mess of things, and they may be extrapolating onto us some of their problems. I just don't know. That was an interesting thing, and it may be aberrant. In terms of Indonesia, that's something we should take seriously because, you know, I gave the half glass full side of people the anti-American question, but the half glass empty side of it is that the two countries that are closest to us, Mexico and Canada, were more anti-American than pro-American, and the only Muslim majority country in this poll was more anti-American. And I think this country has its work cut out for it. The next president, whoever he is, has his work cut out for him when it comes to improving relations in Indonesia.
Carl Cannon is the Washington Bureau Chief of Reader's Digest. We've been talking about the Reader's Digest poll called How Does the World See Us? Thank you so much for talking with us.
Anytime.